is somewhat tragic, I think, that that last song is usually sung only at funerals. And we have allowed ourselves to think that precious memories can only apply to those or about those who've already passed from this life. That is not the case. It is true that we can have precious memories of our loved ones who have finished their life's course here and who have gone on into the keeping of God. And those precious memories are precious and mean so much to us in many ways. And for those of us that have parents and others that are still alive, we can have precious memories even relative to them. There are many precious memories that I have of my dad and mother in days gone by, and both of them are still living and still very healthy and very active. I'm thankful today that we're able to pause in our study of God's Word and pay respect to those that are a bit older. For the benefit of those of you who may not have been here this morning, we read some passages of Scripture, both in the Old Testament and in the New, that emphasize how important it is for us to appreciate those who are a bit older and have experience, and how valuable they are, even in the work of the Lord. We notice some outstanding examples that Abraham and Sarah were 99 and 90 the time that Isaac was promised. We notice that Moses is remembered for what he did in the last third of his life, not the first two-thirds. We notice that Caleb, at age 85, said, "Give me the mountain, and I'll take it." And he did. We notice that it was the Apostle John, probably in the neighborhood of a century old, who was used to pen the books of that beloved letter, Revelation. We need to appreciate our older members and our older people in our families. Tonight, as we discuss the subject, honor to the hoary head, I'm reading two passages, one from Leviticus 19:32, and then from Proverbs 16:31. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head, and honor the face of the old man, and fear thy God, I am the Lord. And then in Proverbs 16:31, the hoary head is a crown of glory, if it be found in the way of righteousness. The word hoary, or the phrase hoary head, is used here to simply talk about one who is gray-headed. I suppose that I personally have an interest in this because I've had more experience in dealing with gray hair than most of you have. I began getting gray at age 19. I don't think there's any significance that that's the year I got married. And I was a little bit different from the rest of you in that instead of beginning to gray over here, I started right in the center. And for a few years, I looked just like a skunk. But we've made it through those years, and especially in my 20s and 30s, the gray hair helped in many ways to make me to appear to be a little older than I was. I've caught up now to where I don't need that help as much. But gray hair has been used down through the years to almost be a synonym or a phrase of a synonym to refer to those who are getting a little bit older. And that's what the word hoary means, H-O-A-R-Y, as it is used in these passages. The idea that is before us tonight, carrying out the two goals that we said this morning, is to help those who are a bit more mature appreciate that time in life and take advantage of it and live it to its fullest. I've always appreciated the conversation between two older men. One of them said, "I hate the thought of getting older." The other one said, "Considering the alternative, I'm looking forward to it." I believe that's the attitude that each one ought to take toward that area of life. And at the same time, all of us need to develop the right kind of appreciation for those who are advanced in years. And these terms that I'm using tonight of maturity and older and advanced are not intended in any way to suggest anything other than appreciation for the reality of what the entirety of life can be. I want to just suggest about four things tonight that can help us to pay honor to those who are a bit older. And these are four words or phrases that I think we can all take with us, and I want to mention all four of them in the beginning before we begin to discuss them. The first is respect. The second is the word appreciate. The third is the word express, and the fourth is the word exhibit. Now get those four words in mind. Respect, appreciate, express, and exhibit. Notice in the first place the idea of respect. Paul was an older preacher talking to a younger preacher, Timothy, in the two letters that he wrote that bear the name of Timothy. Timothy may have been in his late 30s or around 40 at the time these letters were written. I think sometimes we tend to think of Timothy as a teenager, but he wasn't. A generation at that time, and I suppose at most times, is considered to be about 40 years. Especially in the Jewish history, until a young man had reached 40, he was many times referred to as a young man. And so Timothy may have been nearing the age of 40. But Paul, an older man, maybe twice his age, I don't know whether he was that old or not, but at least an older man, said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 5, 1 through 3, and I'm paraphrasing, Timothy, learn to look at every older man as if he were your father. Timothy, learn to look at every older woman as if she were your mother. And then he said, every younger man as though a brother, and every younger woman as though a sister. And that's another lesson, an important lesson in itself. But just think about what Paul was saying to Timothy. Now he says, in this same book, let no man despise thy youth. Be thou an example. And you remember all those areas that he mentioned. One was manner of life. But as a part of this, he was saying to Timothy, Timothy, you need to be sure that you always have an attitude of respect for those who are a little older than you. Look at them as fathers and mothers. God gives us a hint, I think, in how he wants us to look at a father when he gives the Ten Commandments to the children of Israel. Had you thought that the first three, at least, of those are really commandments that say to the children of Israel, you need to have the right kind of respect for your heavenly father. And if there is a likeness in family relationships, and there is, to the relationship that we have as children to our Father in heaven, then he would be saying the same thing to us, even suggesting it at that point. That there is to be an attitude of respect for those that are fathers and mothers and those that are older. That respect, young folks, can be presented in two ways particularly. One in language and one in actions. It is still important for us to teach our boys and girls to say yes, ma'am, and no, sir, thank you, and please. Those manners are never out of order. They are never out of place. And they are especially in place when we're dealing with those that are older than we. I still, personally, whether you agree with me or not, I don't know, like to hear children and young folks refer to older people not by their first name, but put a Mr. or a Mrs. or a brother or a sister, if we are in a religious sense or we're talking in terms of relationship or appreciation that we have in the Lord's church. Just seems to me that there's something about that that says that here's a young person who's been taught to have some manners. It is not old-fashioned, young man, young woman, to open the door for someone that is older. It is not out of date to assist someone who may need some assistance in getting across a busy street. We can show respect by our words and by our actions. And we ought to show that respect. We ought to think of it not as a duty, but as an opportunity to show respect to those that are older. In the second place, there is the need of appreciation. Perhaps there is no generation, including mine, who appreciates the previous generation as it should. In Proverbs 30, verse 11, there is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. Let me challenge those of you in the younger generation today to stop and think about something. Those of you in high school and junior high are enjoying discoveries such as computers that we did not have when I was in junior high and senior high. Let me ask you something. Who discovered those and produced them? Your generation didn't. In fact, if you take two generations and take 40 years as a generation, and you go back from 1990 to 1910, and there are, I started to say quite a few, at least several in the audience, that started life before 1910. You just begin to think about all the gadgets you and I have used this week. How many of them were here in 1910? Airplane had just been more or less thought of. Automobile, some of us sat this afternoon and watched the Indianapolis 500 or the Charlotte race, was that what it was, or whatever it was. I just saw them in passing on television. I believe they said a record was set today in Indianapolis that the entire 500 miles was run at an average of 185 miles, broke it by 15 miles an hour. There was a train over in, was it France, somewhere in that area the other day, that set a record going over 300 miles an hour. I'm not for sure I want to ride it, but I'd like to see it take off. The point that I'm making, look at television. How long have we had television? I remember when I saw my first one. I remember when I saw the first colored television. It was in my generation that those things were produced. You young folks didn't produce those things. We need to appreciate the discoveries that have been made by the generation before us, and we need to be able to express that appreciation. And it's a little bit humbling when you stop and think how much has been done by the previous generation for us today. And that would be true with every generation because of the discoveries that are being made. How much, young folks, have your dads and mothers done for you personally? And your granddads and your grandmothers done for you personally? I think it best not to go into a lot of personal stories that I wish I could tell you tonight about my dad and mother, sacrifices that I know they made to make it possible for me to be able to do what they wanted me to do in life. I need to appreciate them. I need to appreciate what they did before me, some of the things that they did without sacrifice that I might be where I am today, and that's true in every one of our families. We need to value the experience of those that are a bit older. Remember the story we read this morning from 2 Chronicles 10 about Rehoboam, who did not listen to the counsel of the older men, but listened to the counsel of those who were his own age. Hebrews 5:14 talks about how we'll be better to do things when by reason of use we have our senses trained to make the right kind of decisions, to know right from wrong. Reason of time and reason of use are both indicated in that passage in Hebrews 5. In Proverbs 23:22, he says, "Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old." God placed a great deal of value on appreciation, not only within the heart of a younger person, but on the lips and in the actions of that younger person. Boys and girls, you need to realize this. Under the old law, a child was stoned to death for sassing his dad and mother. We need to appreciate. We need to learn to listen. I know that there are times in our younger years that we think our parents do not know anything, but it's amazing how much they learn when just a few short years go by. And you just think about it for a moment. Here's a person a generation older than you who has had the experience of 30 or 40 years. He's been there. He's met many of these decision-making times. He knows the facts that you're yet to learn. Oh, how much better off we would be if we would learn to appreciate the counsel that can come from those who are somewhat experienced. Respect, appreciate, and express that appreciation. Must we wait until the time of death to give our flowers? May God help us that we don't. A telephone call can be made, sometimes during the day at least, for just a few cents. I called New York City a while back and talked for an entire minute, and it cost me 17 cents. Most of us could call our dads and mothers, our grandparents, talk 2 or 3 minutes, just a few cents. Even several minutes doesn't cost much. A stamp, 25 cents. Young folks, and let me even address those my age, we can take what we spend to buy one Coke and cover all that would be necessary to send a letter to a dad or a mother that would like to hear just a few words from us. Words of appreciation. How many times have we heard the statement at a funeral or in connection with that, "Oh, I wish I had said, I wish I had told." Just conduct your life in such a way that you won't have to say that. Go ahead and give the flowers while they're living. We also express our appreciation and our honor to those who are older by seeing that their needs are met. That involves physical needs. God has placed that responsibility first on the family. 1 Timothy 5 discusses that in detail. Verse 4, verse 8, verse 16 particularly. Verse 8 is the often quoted verse that we apply to the parent-child relationship, which in reality is applying to the caring of our older folks. He that will not provide for his own is worse than an infidel. We cannot always provide those needs ourselves, but we can always do our best to do what we can and then to see that those needs are prepared and supplied. Maybe we need to look at that time in life, especially when physical needs are there, somewhat like we would look at the time of illness. Do we not do the best we can to care for an illness, even of a child at home, and then if it's something beyond our ability, we seek out those who have the ability to provide that which we cannot and are willing to pay for that provision? But when all is said and done, it comes back to the fact that all of us ought to be interested in seeing that the needs of our loved ones as they get a bit older are cared for physically. We also need to be sure that we don't forget the spiritual side of it. It's just as important for a person to be able to grow older spiritually and those last years of life be meaningful spiritually as it is to have their physical needs met. And I suggest to you in passing this that we can express our honor to our parents and grandparents and others that are a bit older, not only by supplying their needs, but letting them know that they are needed. One of the greatest needs of a person as that person gets a bit older is to be needed. Not able to do the same things they did when a teenager, but still valuable and still needing to be needed. We can express our appreciation to our parents by always keeping that in mind. Needing to be needed. I also believe one of the ways we can express our honor and our appreciation to those that are getting older in our families is by spending time. You know, sometimes our parents and grandparents don't want any money. They just want a little time. Just a few minutes. Just a little time to let them know that as this world rushes on, we've got just a little bit of time to sit down and talk with them, to listen to them, to let them know how much we care. Express that honor to those that are a bit older. Respect, appreciate, express, and exhibit. Is there any way that you can pay more respect to those who brought you to where you are today, wherever you are, than by doing what's right? As is the mother, so is the daughter, Ezekiel 16:44. Timothy, Paul speaking to him again, I see in your life unfeigned faith. That means pure faith. He said, Timothy, I saw that in your mother, Eunice, and in your grandmother, Lois. There just isn't anything that you and I can do that brings more happiness to our parents and grandparents than to do what's right. There are two verses that are almost alike and yet a bit different. One is the fourth verse of 2 John and one is the fourth verse of 3 John. In 2 John verse 4, John says that he gets joy from seeing thy children walk in the right way. And in verse 4 of 3 John, he says, I have no greater joy than to see my children walking in the right way. That says something. A child who lives right and sets the right kind of example and lets his light shine, that little Christian light that we sing about in the kids' class, is giving honor to the hoary head. There is no way that I could ever live long enough to give back to my dad and mother what they've given me. But maybe I can pass it on to my children. Maybe I can pass it on by doing good to someone else and helping somebody else. If I can exhibit in my life to others the characteristics that were exhibited in the lives of my parents and grandparents to me, then I believe that I'm giving honor to them for who they are and what they are and what they mean. Exhibit in your lives. That doesn't always mean that we'll do exactly the same things they did. But it does mean that we will present in our lives the same basic fundamental principles, unless I'm badly mistaken, with very few exceptions. All of our parents and grandparents taught us integrity, honesty, decency, morality, hard work. We could go on with a long list. And when you and I today, whether those older ones are still with us or whether they're gone, live our lives by those same basic principles, we are exhibiting in our lives the qualities they had in theirs, and by so doing, we're paying respect, we are showing appreciation, and we are giving an expression of honor to the hoary head. Respect, appreciate, express, and exhibit. May God bless those who have gone before us and who have done so much for us that we'll probably never fully understand it this side of the judgment. And may He help us in whatever generation we are, especially those of us who may be in the middle and younger generations, to live our lives in such a way that our actions, and yes, with that our words, show honor to those who are a bit more mature. As we think about this, this kind of honor that we're talking about is the same kind of honor that we need to show to our Heavenly Father. You see, He wants me to respect Him. He wants me to appreciate His grace that caused Him to give Christ to be our Savior. He wants me to express that appreciation in obedience to become a Christian and exhibit those qualities in living for Him. It's almost amazing how much the parallel is there. If you respect God as your Father and appreciate Him for what He's done, you ought to express it in obedience and live for Him. If that means you need to be baptized into Christ tonight or you need to come home as a child of His, I encourage you to express that appreciation by exhibiting obedience as together we stand and sing.
The cross where He died is in sight. Now at the cross there is room. Are you coming to Jesus tonight? Are you coming to Jesus tonight? Are you coming to Jesus tonight? The bride and the spirit invite. Are you coming to Jesus tonight? The voice of the Father implores from mercy's most wonderful height. His love in that call he outpours. Are you coming to Jesus tonight? Are you coming to Jesus tonight? Are you coming to Jesus tonight? The bride and the spirit invite. Are you coming to Jesus tonight? Oh, who to himself will be true of all whom these voices invite? Who answers, my brother, do you? Are you coming to Jesus tonight? Are you coming to Jesus tonight? Are you coming to Jesus tonight? The bride and the spirit invite. Are you coming to Jesus tonight?
Be seated, please. Closing song will be number 343.
We certainly appreciate your presence tonight, and I want to take just a moment to express appreciation for what all of you have done for me, and I must add to me, in the last day or so. It is so encouraging to have people who support you and encourage you as you do my family and me, and we appreciate it so much. Remember the joint meeting of the area churches here Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Paul Rogers will speak. Remember all of those that are sick, but in a special way, those who will be having surgery this week. Warren Cole is scheduled for bypass surgery tomorrow about noon. And Charlie Miller is scheduled to have bypass surgery on Tuesday morning. Noel Jane, the son of Natalie Moffitt Jane, will have eye surgery on Thursday. And especially remember the little Jet baby, Mia Jett, who was burned severely yesterday and is in the burn unit in Galveston, Texas. Just remember all of those that are sick. The Lord's Supper has been left prepared for those who need to go to observe it. You may go through either door to the side of the front of the auditorium and across to the educational building as we are singing the closing song. Let us stand for that song.
I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. The way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go. The way of the cross leads home. Then I bid farewell to the way of the world, to walk in it nevermore. For my Lord says, come, and I seek my home, where he waits at the open door. The way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go. The way of the cross leads home.
Will you bow with me? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that we had the opportunity tonight to come and worship you. We hope in spirit and in truth. We ask that you be with us and guard, guide, and direct us in all that we say and do. We ask you to be with us the rest of this night and on through the rest of our lives. Forgive us of our sins, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.